I want to encourage you today. I want to challenge you today. I want to strengthen you today. I want to inspire you today. You're in the right place, the right time, right here on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I have asked this question many times before. I am going to ask it again. Is it too late for America? Is it too late for America? Have we gone down too far, the slippery slope, moral degradation, spiritual backsliding? Have we fallen so far that there's no possible way to turn the tide back? Or does the Bible make clear that at the end of the age, everything's going downhill, everything's going to be destroyed? There's no reason to even try to bring about change because we are in the end time apostasy. Or do theologies like that cripple us? Is the church supposed to be on the front lines of bringing about change? Or perhaps maybe when we try to do that, we get so politically involved that we forget about the gospel. So what is it? Is it too late for America to be changed? And can the church play a positive role in bringing about cultural change? Is that part of the calling of the church? And what does the Bible say about the days we're living in? Michael Brown, thank you for joining us today on The Line of Fire. My delight to be coming live from the studios of WAVA in Washington, D.C., where I just did a press club event this morning, National Press Club, a news conference about A Queer Thing Happened to America and our campaign for religious tolerance and intellectual diversity. I'll tell you more about that in a moment. But what's your take? Yes or no? Is it too late for America? Yes or no? Does the Bible tell us don't even bother because everything's going downhill anyway? And is the church called to bring about positive change? What do you think? 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Online, get in the discussion on Facebook. Ask Dr. Brown, ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. We know there are problems, but are these the same problems that past generations have faced and maybe they brought about change? I mean, America was in a bad place with slavery. America was in a bad place morally, in a moral decline at the end of the 1700s after the Revolutionary War. We've had our issues in the past. Could it be there's another great awakening at hand? Or could it be that, no, when a nation goes down a certain path, there's no way back? Or perhaps, you know, look, the Bible says in the end times, there'll be great falling away and darkness and deception and so on. So, I mean, if we're in that last generation, and why even try to bring about change? These are questions that we need to deal with, friends, because every single day living in this world, we are confronted with issues. We are confronted with immorality. We are confronted with violence. We are confronted with injustice. We are confronted with every kind of imaginable problem. What do we do about it? Do we pray for Jesus to come and so we can get out of here sooner? And that's the only real solution to the problems on the earth? Do we preach the gospel to as many people as we can just to get as many people saved and we ignore the cultural, social things? Or do we do both at the same time? I mean, what does it mean to be salt and light? You understand how these questions all go hand in hand. I was at an event today at the National Press Club announcing the release of our book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. This is just a little bit over a week after it came out, of course, and announcing our speaking tour, the Campaign for Religious Tolerance and Intellectual Diversity, saying, look, let's talk. Those that call for tolerance, those that call for diversity, refuse to talk, refuse to interact, and it's quite amazing. In fact, I'll tell you about this right on the other side of the break. I noticed the first negative review of my book on Amazon.com, but obviously by someone who never read it. But it's the standard thing of we will attack, we will seek to discredit, but we will not engage. And what I say is, let's put the issues on the table. Let's put the issues on the table. I firmly believe, friends, John 1:5, that the light shines in darkness and darkness cannot overcome it. I firmly believe 2 Corinthians 13:8, we can do nothing against the truth, only for the truth. Truth and light will triumph. 866-34-TRUTH. Is it too late for America? And is the church called to be an agent of change? Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, it was a little over 6 years ago that I felt the Lord said to me, reach out and resist. Reach out to the homosexual community with compassion. Resist gay activism. Resist the agenda with courage. And I believe that God, through his people, by his spirit, can turn the tide of homosexual activism in America. I believe God, by his spirit, through his people, based on the word of God, okay, not based on some strong-arming, intimidating, where we're gonna take over and beat everybody down. No, based on following the spirit of Jesus, I believe we can bring about change. I believe it's part of our calling as salt and light, but many have a problem with that. Many feel it's too late for America, that if you look at historical patterns, we have sinned against revealed light and gone too far. Others would say, Mike, we respect what you're doing, we respect your zeal, but don't you understand everything's going downhill? The Bible tells us as much. So that's my question to discuss, and I want to hear from you, because I believe there are two sides to this discussion. I've laid out what I think, what I believe, but I believe there is a real discussion that needs to be had. What does the Bible say? What does history tell us? What is our role? 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Again, to interact with us on Facebook, Ask Dr. Brown. That's Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. I will go to the phones early today. I've got some great audio clips to play for you as well that will inspire you and strengthen you. I noticed this review on Amazon, and that, this is why I encourage everyone that's got a copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America to get onto Amazon.com and write a review, because people will blast the book who haven't read it. And if you haven't ordered it, trust me, this will be a book that will change your life and change lives of people around you. So this reviewer says this, and this ties in with what I'm talking about. First, the research in the book was discredited a long time ago. Well, obviously, I didn't read the book because it's based on the latest research, and I let each side speak clearly. Second, the book is poorly written. Well, that's his opinion, but God's graced me to write. And the funny thing is, when I sent it to top editors, they said, hey, we feel embarrassed. We have very little input because it's so well written. And then third, although some of the historical facts regarding the gay movement are correct, the context of nearly every historical example is downright misleading. If you are a Christian, you're being led away from God by listening to this guy. Love thy neighbor. Put down this book. In other words, we won't engage you. In other words, we will not talk about the issues with you. In other words, we will attack you, but we will not engage you. I just did a press conference to put the issues out on the table and to call for discussion. Let's have a conversation. Is there no other side to the story? Let's have a conversation. And a woman there from Christian Press said, it seems that everyone here in the room is with you, agrees with you. In other words, there was not secular press or media there disagreeing, where someone blasts me, local secular press person blasts me and mocks the book and mocks what we're doing, which is fine. I mean, it's perfectly fine. Open exchange of ideas, that's what we're out for. But they won't show up to discuss it. Do we have a message that can actually bring about change, or are we barking up the wrong tree? Is that not what the gospel is part of? Let's start with Kevin in Avenel, New Jersey. Thanks. All right, lost Kevin there. Let's see. Let's go to Sean in Kenwood, New Jersey. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you. What's your take?
My take is that, yes, America's in decline, but I don't think there's anything written in the Gospels to tell us to ever stop preaching the word or to stop trying. I believe that Jesus, as opposed to really going into government and whatnot, he tried to change the hearts before he could change the minds. And mm-hmm. I think that's really what we're called to do, is to start with the heart, and the rest will follow. But I do not think that we shouldn't try to reach out to the abortion and all the other, the homosexuality, all those other aspects which are now under, I guess, secular rule.
So let me ask you this, Sean. Do you think perhaps in America that we have such a strong emphasis on success that we forget our greatest call is obedience even more than success? Do you think that could be true?
I think people would rather have success than be obedient. Because success brings about feelings as opposed to anything spiritual.
Got it. So in other words, it may look that the crucifixion of Jesus didn't look like success when it happened, but that is the key event in terms of the history of the world and the history of the human race, and the key event in terms of God's victory comes by his son dying on the cross. When Paul was writing his letters from prison and maybe had a handful of disciples in different cities, it may not have looked like success, but it was obedience, and out of that, a world-changing movement was birthed. Hey, Sean, thanks for weighing in. Here's the question. And look, I want to hear from some of you who feel theologically that there's no sense trying to bring about change. In other words, that you're convinced, you don't have to be in the Harold Camping camp, okay? But you're convinced that according to the Bible, everything is going to get worse before Jesus comes, and that we are in that last generation, the clock is ticking, and therefore, we already know where things are going. What's the use of trying to bring about change? What's the use of dealing with gangs in the inner city? What's the use of trying to put families back together in the inner city? Everything's collapsing anyway. What's the reason for trying to deal with human trafficking? Come on, everything's going down. It's only going to get worse. Why even think about the economy? Well, the economy, because I've got to pay my bill. So I didn't mean to touch on something a little oversensitive there. But you get my drift. That many that have an attitude, I wouldn't just call it escapism. I don't want to sound derogatory or negative, but many have the mentality, well, the Bible is so clear that in the last days perilous times will come, and that Jesus warned us about great deception and apostasy and said that many will fall away. So it's like we're trying to put our finger in a hole in the dam, and it's one place. There are 100 holes, 1,000 holes, 10,000 holes. There's no use trying to hold it back. Or could it be that that's how the devil wants us to think? Could it be that the devil wants us to buy into what is a defeatist mentality? That the devil wants us to think in such a way that we don't resist his tactics, that we don't resist his strategies, that we don't stand up for what is right because, hey, it's over. We're defeated already. Let me grab another call before the break here. James in Landover, Maryland, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. Hey, how you doing?
Doing great. Thank you, sir.
Great. Yeah. Here's my comment. I want to be sort of critical. Here's the way I see it. I'm 62 years old. I am a follower of Christ. Now, in saying that, I'm not particularly crazy about Christians simply because of the attitude and the way Christian people are as a whole when you look at them. I'm not saying individual. I'm not talking about individuals here now. I'm basically talking about when you look at Christianity, you look at the people in Christianity and the way they behave and things like that. To some extent, it's atrocious. But at the same time, I do believe that we as followers of Christ have a responsibility to continue preaching the word about what he stands for, his discipline and principles. And I do believe we still have a responsibility, irregardless of what the devil say, don't make that difference. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. So first, you're absolutely right, sir, that in many ways we have discredited ourselves by our witness, by our scandals, by having the same problems in the church that the world has. In fact, I would dare say, and I've said this for many years now, that rather than the church changing the world this last generation, the world has changed the church. So we've lost a lot of our moral authority. We've lost our credibility because when we're like the world and speaking against the sins of the world, people say, well, you're just like us. But that can't stop us. You're absolutely right, sir. That cannot stop us from standing up for what's right. That can't stop us from speaking the truth. And at a press conference today, I said, listen, we have to acknowledge our own failures as heterosexual Christians, as a church in America. We have to acknowledge our own failures. And then having acknowledged those failures, say, but there is a better way. And then stand up to set an example. Just because someone else fell or someone else messed up, yeah, it's discouraging, it's painful, we repent, but then let's stand up and do what's right. We owe it to our society. We come back, friends, I'm going to play a clip for you from C.T. Studd, and throughout the broadcast, I want to encourage you to stand up and do what's right, regardless how things look. To stand up and do what's right, regardless of what society says. To stand up and do what's right, to be salt and light, to be a moral conscience in our society and bringing light and transformation. We've got an important resource we want to put in your hands. Stay tuned. Shake the nation, change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm concerned, friends, that some of us are paralyzed. We're paralyzed by the great needs of America and the moral degeneration of our society. We're paralyzed. We're paralyzed by a theology that tells us everything's only going to get worse and we're in that last generation where it's only going down and therefore there's nothing we can do to bring about change. We're paralyzed because we're aware of our own failures or scandals even within the church. I want to encourage you today that in Jesus, with Jesus, full of the Spirit, with the Word, you can make a difference. You can be a world changer. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us on The Line of Fire as we seek to be a voice, truly, of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution, God radically changing us, and we then, with Him, bringing a radical change to society. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Do you think we can bring about change? Do you think we can make a difference? Do you think it's not too late? AskDrBrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire to get into discussion there or for some important resources. I'm going to play a clip in a moment from C.T. Studd, missionary pioneer, but can I present something to you very simple? When you share the gospel with a lost person and that lost person truly gets saved, you've been a world changer. What if that person was a drug dealer? What if that person was an abusive husband? What if that person was a suicidal teenage girl? Who knows what happens to that person once they are saved? Who knows what happens? See, I just can't understand how, if the Great Commission is to go and make disciples, that if we go and make disciples, we won't be bringing about change. I don't understand how that works. Isn't the Great Commission fundamentally Jesus saying, let's go and change the world together, make disciples of the nations? You say, but what about all the verses that say it's all coming down? Well, we'll talk about that in a moment. Listen to this. John Getty, pioneer Presbyterian missionary to the South Seas. On a tablet in a large church seating 1,000 people, this inscription was placed in memory of John Getty. When he landed in 1848, this is in the South Seas, there were no Christians here. When he left in 1872, there were no heathen. What can happen if the gospel sweeps powerfully through your apartment building, through your neighborhood, through your school, through your place of business? Wouldn't that bring about radical change? William Wilberforce, British aristocrat, gave himself sacrificially to fight against slavery. Now his name is better known with movies and books and things about him in more recent years. It was completely impossible, to even think he could bring about change. The stronghold of slavery was far bigger than the stronghold of abortion today or the stronghold of gay activism in our society today. Far stronger in the British Empire in those days, slavery and slave trade. And yet, tirelessly, as he stood for what was right, as a committed Christian. In fact, the Amazing Grace movie doesn't even show the depth of how he was fueled by his Christian faith. Read Eric Metaxas' book on William Wilberforce to get even more insight on his life and how the gospel played such a key role. John Wesley writes him a letter a few days before Wesley dies, telling him, basically, with man, it's impossible, but with God, it can happen. Let me let C.T. Studd, missionary pioneer who gave his life for the people of Africa, allow his words to inspire you. Let's listen to C.T. Studd. Open your hearts. Open your minds.
Too long have we been waiting for one another to begin. The time for waiting is past. The hour of God has struck. War is declared. In God's holy name, let us arise and build. The God of heaven, He will fight for us, as we for Him. We will not build on the sand, but on the bedrock of the sayings of Christ, and the gates and minions of hell shall not prevail against us. Should such men as we fear, before the whole world, yes, before the sleepless, lukewarm, faithless, namby-pamby Christian world, we will dare to trust our God. We will venture our all for Him. We will live and we will die for Him, and we will do it with His joy unspeakable, singing aloud in our hearts. We will 1,000 times sooner die trusting only in our God than live trusting in man. And when we come to this position, the battle is already won, and the end of the glorious campaign in sight. We will have the real holiness of God, not the sickly stuff of talk and dainty words and pretty thoughts. We will have a masculine holiness, one of daring faith and works for Jesus Christ. Christ's call is to feed the hungry, not the fool. To save the lost, not the stiff-necked. Not to call the scoffers, but sinners to repentance. Not to build and furnish comfortable chapels, churches, and cathedrals at home in which to rock Christian professors to sleep by means of clever essays, stereotyped prayers, and artistic musical performances. But to raise living churches of souls among the destitute, to capture men from the devil's clutches and snatch them away from the very jaws of hell, to enlist and train them for Jesus, and to make them into an almighty army of God. But this can only be accomplished by a red-hot, unconventional, unfettered Holy Ghost religion, where neither church nor state, neither man nor traditions are worshipped or preached, but only Christ and Him crucified. Not to confess Christ by fancy collars, church steeples, or richly embroidered altar cloths, but by reckless sacrifice and heroism in the foremost trenches.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's the gospel, friends. Ha! That's the gospel. That's how you live this thing out. Doesn't matter the cost, doesn't matter the consequence. We are humble, gracious, submitted people, but we don't fear man. And we don't even fear death. In fact, Jesus says, hey, don't worry about it. Worst people can do is kill you, right? Matthew 10:28. Don't fear those who can kill the body but can't kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. When we fear God, we don't fear man. We will lay our lives down to help our fellow man, but we are not man-fearing people. You say, yeah, but what about all those verses about the last days? Can I tell you something? Acts 2, it says, in the last days, God will pour out his spirit on all flesh. It speaks of a massive harvest. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Wow. And when Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and says, be careful, take careful note of this, in the last days, perilous times will come. He's talking about Timothy's day. Because you read through that whole section, first, it's not talking about anything new. It's talking about what's always been in terms of the sin of man, right? And then he goes on to say, have nothing to do with people like this. In other words, Timothy, don't think in these last days in which we are living, which is clearly what's taught in the New Testament, that with Jesus coming into the world, dying, rising from the dead, sending his spirit, we have been in what's called the last days. Don't think it's going to be a cakewalk. There's going to be trouble. There's going to be deception. There's going to be sin. But here's what the New Testament presents about the last days. There will be parallel extremes, great outpouring, great sin, great miracles, great deception. Great working of God, great working of hell. Just like in one part of the world it can be light and another part of the world it can be dark, that's what's going to be happening spiritually until the culmination. The harvest is the end of the age, Jesus says, and there's going to be good fish and bad fish. So for 2,000 years we've been in the last days, and for 2,000 years the devil's been working, God's been working, but can I tell you that the kingdom of God is advancing in the midst of the earth? And I don't expect a perfect world by any means before Jesus comes, but I expect to see Jesus exalted. Hey, for our friends listening on WAVA, I'm in Maryland, Virginia, D.C. area for a few days. We'll be announcing those meetings. I'll be on with Don Crow at his show a little bit later this afternoon, so hope you can join me. And our friends in New York City will be coming into your area, God willing, first week or so of April. Get hold of the Revolution book, 1-800-278-9978. Back with more.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I talk a lot about the subject of revolution. It's something that God really started to birth in my heart, oh, probably about a dozen years ago, a little bit more than that. When I saw the state of things in the church, in the world, just so glaringly, more deeply than I ever had before. This is in the midst of a great outpouring of the Spirit while we're serving and many people being saved and turning to the Lord day in, day out. I just recognized that more of the same in terms of the church of North America would only produce more of the same. We need it radical, dramatic, sweeping change. In other words, we need it revolution. Not the worldly kind, not anger, not hatred, not violence, not intimidation, not guns, knives, God forbid. No, the Jesus kind. Radical dedication to the cause, laying our lives down for a sick and dying world, coming in the life and power of the Spirit, overcoming evil with good, hatred with love. My question is it too late? Can we be agents of change here in America? Can there really be a moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution? Michael Brown, thank you for joining us. 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Or online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire. We will get to your calls in a moment. Can we really bring about change? Can we be agents of change in America? I'm not primarily talking about politically. Politics has its place. Each thing has its place. Education system, healthcare system, military, every different facet of government, life, neighborhoods, community, everything has its place. Can we, as God's people, filling our roles in society, actually bring about change? I believe we can. I believe that truth triumphs. I believe that light shines in darkness. Darkness doesn't overcome it. Now, there's a lot happening in the world. Bus bombing in Jerusalem hasn't happened in a while. Terribly traumatic. I've got a guest on, a Jewish believer, lives in Israel. Be with me live in the studio tomorrow. We'll talk about Israel. Right now, focusing here on America. Let me play a clip. I was on Christian TV a few years ago and was explaining why I say we need a revolution. Just a little excerpt with a live audience listening. So I just want you to hear my heart on this. Well, there it is. No, not William Booth.
Ourselves. By and large, especially in North America and Europe, other parts of the world, the church has not changed the world. The world has changed the church. The things that would have been abominable in the homes of our unsaved grandparents two generations ago are acceptable in the homes of believers today. Listen to me, friends. When we can distribute condoms in our public schools and not Bibles, it's time for a revolution.
All right. I say we need a revolution. I say Jesus can bring about that kind of revolution. It's part of the gospel. I'm not expecting a perfect world, and I don't know how far we will get in our stand for righteousness, but to me, the gospel is for the whole person. The gospel is not just getting someone's spirit saved so that they're ready for heaven. The gospel is a transformed life. The gospel is go and make disciples of the nation so we as transformed people go and live our lives differently. I did a news conference this morning at the National Press Club. Amanda Hess, not sure what news agency she's with. She posts sex and gender at work, in bed, and on the street. And she posted a mocking report about it. She didn't come to it, but posted a mocking report. Highly respectful anti-gay person launches book tour in D.C. Today at noon, Dr. Michael Brown will hit the National Press Club to promote his 7-page history of the LGBT movement. A queer thing happened to America, and what a long, strange trip it's been. Brown is hawking the book is so controversial that no major publisher was willing to touch it, for Brown's takedown of pro-gay forces is so well-researched and mild-mannered that it threatens to dismantle the gay lobby once and for all. So she's obviously not taking it particularly seriously, which is perfectly fine. But I say that one word of truth, in the words of an old Russian proverb, one word of truth can bring down the entire world. Who knows what truth can do? We'll talk to you. Take your calls the other side of the break.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Here's one of my favorite quotes, James B. Taylor from the 1800s. By the way, I played a clip from C.T. Studd. He's been with the Lord for a few generations now. Those his words recorded. Okay, that's not C.T. Studd's a long have tape. No. I should have clarified that. James B. Taylor in the 1800s. The world may frown, Satan may rage, but go on. Live for God. May I die in the field of battle. And listen, those who are preaching the gospel in Muslim countries, those who are sharing the gospel in communist countries, Hindu countries, Buddhist countries, the same opposition stronghold seems impossible. Here we are in America standing for the gospel. I say as we stand for the gospel, we stand for truth that can impact the whole of society. And no matter how bad things are, we shouldn't despair because God is with us and he's given us a job to do. I'm not trying to win a battle. I'm not trying to beat somebody. I'm not trying to defeat someone. I'm seeking to be obedient to the Lord and the commission he's given me. And one part of that is to help turn back the tide of homosexual activism while at the same time reaching out to the homosexual community. Can I encourage you again, friends, you can be part of this revolution by going to Amazon.com and writing a review of the book, because positive reviews, honest positive reviews, will draw more readers to the book. And the book is not just written for the church, it's written for the world, because I believe we can awaken the conscience of the nation. I spent years working on this, and much prayer and much fasting with teams of people crying out to God together, because we believe that God can turn the tide through the gospel, through truth, through dismantling false thinking and wrong arguments. If you haven't gotten the book yet, please order a copy. You will not regret it. Amazon.com, Queer Thing Happened to America. All right, let me start to get to some calls here. Linda in Galveston, Texas. What's your take on all right, we lost Linda. Let's go to Roger in Laurel, Maryland, 866-34-TRUTH. Thanks for joining us, Roger.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
Good afternoon. I am blessed, sir. Thank you.
I'm blessed as well. My statement is very short. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a blessing to see that he has revealed to us the things that are to come to pass. But that should not stop us from being as obedient believers in Jesus Christ by following his standards and what he has written for us to share the gospel with the world. The gospel hasn't been written for man to withhold it for himself. The gospel was for us to go out and make disciples of all nations.
All right. So in other words, even if I have a theology that will talk about, say, final decline or darkness, or let's just say that was my theology, I'm still called to live this thing out regardless. I'm not called to figure out how things are going to happen or what's going to happen. I'm called to be obedient to the Great Commission either way and to believe that God's going to help me make disciples of the nations.
Absolutely, because disobedience started way back in the garden.
Uh-huh.
And God provided a way to cover that disobedience by sending his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he uses the term, go out into all nations and share the gospel, he's saying, don't be concerned about what I've revealed to you as far as you have been blessed by seeing the things that are going to happen in the last days. Just be obedient and share the gospel.
Got it. So the same way, if I believed somehow that everyone was going to be saved, I still have to share the gospel, that I have that role to play. Hey, Roger, thank you for weighing in loud and clear, sir. Let's go to Matt in Secaucus, New Jersey. Hey, Matt, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Great, thank you.
God bless you.
Go ahead.
Hello? Yes.
Go ahead.
Basically, you have a very loaded question, and I don't want to say anything that's going to offend you, because my intention is not to offend you.
But that's fine. Because hey, man, I'm a New Yorker. You're in New Jersey. You can talk straight. Don't worry about it.
Well, basically, I feel, as one who recently came to the Lord and who is, you know, really working at being a good Christian, I really feel that we need, as Christians, we need to preach the gospel, meaning the good news that Christ has risen. We need to follow all of the, I guess, mandates that Jesus put forth and how we should act towards other people, how we should react towards other people. What concerns me in that, and if you, you know, think that you might, people have gone astray from that, and the last 2,000 years of Christianity has shown that, meaning people with good intentions have committed some heinous atrocities that I shudder about how God would think of, mm-hmm, in the way people have been brutalized. I think that as Christians, we need to see the sin in other people. We need to look beyond the sin and not label people as the sin. Acknowledge the sin, absolutely, because we ourselves are
sinful. So just to understand, you're concerned, Matt, that sometimes in the name of Jesus, people have launched some types of crusades and attacked those that they should have been reaching out
and
to.
And it's still going on today.
Right.
In this country, against homosexuals, against...
All right, so Matt, where do you see it happening against homosexuals?
Well, where people that preacher who... I don't know his name.
Fred Phelps. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, so here, let me... Thank you for raising that, Matt. Very important. Fred Phelps and his little Westboro Baptist Church mainly family members, many of them attorneys, with his campaign, God Hates Fags, God Hates America, God Hates Canada, Billy Graham is hell, in hell, Reggie White is in hell, the Pope is in hell, and so on and so forth. He gets a lot of press, but in terms of the believers in America, and God knows where he stands, I can't see him being a believer, but God knows where he stands. Here's my question. He doesn't represent 1/100th of 1/1000th of a percent of believers, okay? Every believer that I know anywhere in the world is absolutely repulsed by what he does and completely speaks against it. So it's why in the world? It would be like this. It would be like someone from the Asian community, all right, breaks into someone's house and brutalizes and rapes someone. And then we say all Asians are bad, you know.
I understand what you're saying, but I also think that in the hearts of believers, where obviously we don't practice homosexuality and we consider it a sin, I wonder. I shudder to wonder the anger that lies within their heart, and what concerns me is which always echoes in my mind with the words of Jesus. Even if you get angry with your brother, you are in fear of damnation. That means very thin line that we are walking in order to save ourselves and also to spread the word so that other people may have their eyes opened as well.
All right, Matt, I'm just missing something, though.
Right.
I've been working, been following Jesus for 40 years now and preaching since 73, and then focused on a lot of moral social issues within the body at different times over the years, and spent a lot of time dealing with homosexual issues in the last 6-7 years. So I've dealt with a lot of folks that are on the front lines of these ministries, different groups, Exodus International, Focus on the Family, Family Research Council. I've worked behind the scenes with these people. I've been at conferences, and all I ever hear from them is love. All I ever hear from them is concern, compassion. I don't know what this anger is that you're talking about.
I'm not saying that there is anger. I'm saying that anger lies within all of us, and we may even as we are saved, we are still in the flesh, and we are still susceptible to the flesh. No one can deny that.
Is it possible you're projecting some of your own struggles? What I'm hearing, sir, with all respect, is that here we are, we're praying, we're fasting, we're crying out, we're in tears to see people whole, we're in tears to see an end to abortion, to see these mothers help, to see the unborn help, we're in tears to see people come out of homosexuality and transgenderism, we're in tears to see the human trafficking broken, we're in tears to see Muslims saved, Jews saved, so on, and our commission is to go out and make a difference, and you seem to, and I've written, I have a whole book about atrocities committed against the Jewish people in Jesus' name in church history. But I'm not going to let the sin of other people or the hypocrisy of other people stop me from reaching out in love to lay my life down to make a difference in this world.
Right.
And I almost hear you saying because there can be anger. I'm not angry. I'm angry.
At the risk of, that's why I said I was at the risk of offending because I'm not.
But I'm just trying to clarify. That's all.
We have to make sure in ourselves first. What our intentions are. I'm not saying
yes.
You. I'm not
totally agree with you.
That's all we need to do. We need to make sure that we are doing it with the right intentions, lest we fall into a trap in which we cannot expect to fall.
That's what I was pressing for clarification. Hey, I'm out of time, but thank you for staying with me so we can get that clear. Yes, I totally agree with Matt. We must search our own hearts. Yes, we must examine our own lives. Yes, we must be sure that what we do is motivated by love for God and love for people. Otherwise, our very witness is tainted. Absolutely. But let us not hold back because of the sins of others or because of the craziness of others or the hypocrisy of others. The sin of Fred Phelps is not going to stop me from doing what's right. The sin of the Crusaders in past church history is not going to stop me from doing what's right today. Hey, we want to get into your hands a copy of Revolution, the Call of Holy War. Your contribution of any size to help with this broadcast, we'll send you a copy of the book. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978.
It's
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, let me succinctly catch you up. I do not believe the Bible explicitly teaches that everything will come down before the end and therefore there is no use trying, nor do I believe that we can date set and guarantee that we are in the last generation, although I live my life as if I am, as if I have one life to live and as if I can help usher in the return of Jesus. And I do not believe that despite the darkness in our society and how far that we have gone, that it is too late for America. Could there be severe judgment? Oh, it's here already. Could there be terrible suffering? Could well happen. Could we have the worst times in our history right ahead of us? Could be. But we could also have the best times immediately after that or in the midst of that, God working out his purposes. Thank you for joining us on the Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You know, there's going to be bad news. There's always going to be bad news, and there's always going to be the temptation to throw your hands up and quit. Why bother? Why bother? Whether you're hearing about people falling away from the faith, whether you're hearing about a scandal of someone in the ministry, whether you're hearing about a church split, whether you're hearing about bad social news, whether you're hearing about bad news in the mission field, whatever it is, article today, U.S. Catholics are more supportive of gay and lesbian rights than the general public. Wow. It's too late. Quit. Capitulate. Throw in the towel. Here is what John Wesley said to William Wilberforce, 31-year-old parliamentarian seeking to abolish slavery and the slave trade in the British Empire, which was ridiculous, hopeless, impossible. Don't bother. Don't try. It's no sense. Wesley, 88 years old, just 3 days before he dies. He says to Wilberforce, unless the divine power has raised you up to be as Athanasius contra mundum, that is Athanasius against the world, as he stood his ground for truth. I see not how you can go through your glorious enterprise in opposing that cursed villainy, which is the scandal of religion, of England, and of human nature. Unless God raise you up for this very thing, you will be worn out by the opposition of men and devils. But if God be for you, who can be against you? Are all of them together stronger than God? Oh, be not weary in well-doing. Go on in the name of God and in the power of his might till even the American slavery, the vilest that ever saw the sun, shall vanish away before it. And it happened. It happened. If you're looking at the odds, if you're looking at the possibilities, there were none. It's too late. It's over. Yet he held to truth. He believed God. He believed that there was a role to play. Let me say this again to make it real simple. The Great Commission is to go and make disciples, and disciples live differently. Jesus transforms people, someone said, and people transform society. I believe that we living in the earth as salt and light, living as a moral conscience, as a moral preservative, shining light in dark places, exposing sin and darkness, doing good deeds, as we do those things in accordance with the word, as we stand for justice in Luke 18, cry out for justice day and night, as we do those things, that God can work. We're not talking about our ability. We're not talking about the state of the Republican Party or the Democratic Party or the Tea Party. We're talking about the power of God, the power of the gospel, the reality of the truth of the word. Therefore, I see the darkness. I see the difficulties. I see the obstacles very clearly. Look, when you spend years researching the things I've researched and interacting with the people I interacted with and reading the books I've read to write A Queer Thing Happened to America, you can get discouraged fast. However, I believe God, and I believe God has a better way, and I believe that God's ways will ultimately triumph. Certainly, we agree with that eternally. How much we see in this world is secondary to me to the confidence. First, primary, the confidence that God's ways are best and that God's ways will triumph. And then, secondarily, how much will work itself out in this world. Let me grab one more call. Jerry in Raritan, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. We're a little short on time, so dive right in.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hey.
It's good to hear you out there. I'm a little familiar with your ministry, and I sat under your ministry once in a visit to Jersey a couple of years back. You know, I have no doubt in my mind personally that we're living in the very last days.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's true in the kingdom of God, just like the world, it ain't over till it's over. Now, I don't think we have any right to stop serving Jesus, whether you're talking about righting wrongs or bringing in souls.
Got it. So I'm right with you, and I'm fine with people saying that this is the last generation, or people saying, you know, we can't set those times. But you're absolutely right. Whether it's winning souls, whether it's standing for justice or social change through the gospel, our job is to do what's right. And Jerry, I believe God's going to surprise us with some of the things he does in the coming days if we keep our trust in him.
Yep. I believe the same thing. And the last thing I heard him say was go.
Yes, I'm totally with you. Thank you. All right. Hey, Steve in New York City, hang on. If I don't get to you now, I've got another hour of programming coming up, and I'll try to get you in the next hour. Those of you listening say, you got another hour? No, not on the station. We're on lots of different stations, lots of different times. But at the end of the day, you just check our website in the evening, askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire. That's askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire, and you can listen to all 2 hours. And you can subscribe by podcast. Everything's free. If you're able to contribute and help us reach more people, that would be awesome. Hey, listen, if you believe in what we're doing, I can talk real plain to you because I don't make a lot of money doing what I'm doing. And I don't put money into cars and nice houses, okay? That's not the emphasis of my life. We are looking for people to stand with us and help with this Jesus revolution, help with the Great Commission. You know, our school of ministry has sent out grads. We have several hundred ministering around the world as full-time missionaries. Some have been on the field over a decade, serving God, bearing fruit. We have folks reaching out to the Jewish people here in America, other parts of the world, on a regular basis. And by God's grace, we're seeing fruit. We have people who are making a difference in the homosexual community with the good news of Jesus. We are seeing fruit. We're looking for torchbearers, people who stand with us. In fact, if you stand with us with your gift of $25 a month, here's what we do. We send you a new CD with a message of mine every month. You can get 15% off of our online bookstore. And on top of that, you have free access to all of our online classes. We have two available, three are about to be available so far. That's worth it just there. So give us a call, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Be a monthly torchbearer. If you're unable to do that, for your contribution of any size to help with the broadcast, we will send you a copy of my book, Revolution, The Call of the Holy War. Whatever size contribution you're able to make, it is our joy to send you the book, which will help light the fires of Jesus' revolution within you. Again, the number to call, 800-278-9978. Here's my bottom line. My focus is not on the problems in this world. My focus is not on the sins of the past generations. My focus is not on the failings of the church. My focus is on the Lord Jesus. My focus is on the one who said, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of the nations. And that means let's go together. Jesus saying to you and me, let's work together in the power and authority of the Spirit, in the name of Jesus, through the word of God, through holy living, through commitment, sacrifice, service. Let's go together and change the world. Friends, it is not too late. Join me. AskDrBrown.org. You can also become a supporter on the website. Be blessed. Back with you tomorrow. I want to encourage you today. I want to challenge you today. I want to strengthen you today. I want to inspire you today. You're in the right place, the right time, right here on the Line of Fire.
It's time for the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Revolution. What's revolution got to do with the gospel? Mike Brown, you're talking about revolution again. I just preach the gospel, man. That is the gospel to me. Jesus came to bring about radical, dramatic, sweeping change. The kingdom of God is advancing in the midst of the kingdoms of this world. Revolution means out with the old, in with the new. Revolution means radical prayers like this. Oh, here's how we normally hear it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Ah, how you can say it however you want to say it, but that's a radical prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That means the displacing of other kingdoms in this world. That means the undoing of Satan's power and government. That's radical. That's revolutionary. The Great Commission, go and change the world. Go and make disciples. That's radical. That's revolutionary. And here's the radical thing. It's not with guns and knives and armies and bombs and hatred and intimidation. No, it's with the message of Jesus. It's with love. It's with truth. It's with compassion. It's laying our lives down to help a suffering, dying world. I believe we can bring about change. I believe it's not too late for America, but you can beg to differ with me. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us on the Line of Fire. All right, here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Or online, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. That's the best place to get into a real-time discussion right now. Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. So here are my questions for you. I believe that God can use us, can use his people in this generation to bring about change, social and moral change. In fact, if there's spiritual change, I say there has to be social and moral change. Others would say, no, here's where I differ with you. You get into that, you get political. You get into that, it becomes Republicans versus Democrats or Tea Party versus this. Once you get into the social change thing, you have lost sight of the gospel. Or America's gone too far. Hey, man, I respect your zeal, but let's face the facts. America has gone too far. It is too late. No nation's ever gone this far and turned around. Or, no. The word tells us. Theology. It's true. It's clear. I mean, we see that Jesus is coming very, very soon. We know from the word that in the last days, perilous times will come. Great deception will come. Counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles. False prophets, false messiahs, and all of that. And everything will go down. Everything will only degenerate. Gross darkness will cover the earth. So, look at the book of Revelation. Look at the darkness there and the judgment there and what Satan's doing there. So it's a fighting, losing a battle. There's no reason to try to bring about change because the Bible tells us we're in the last days. In fact, the tail end of the last days and everything's going down. And therefore, there's no reason to try to bring about change. What do you think? Do you think I'm misguided theologically or practically by saying that we can be agents of change and that it's not too late for America? Oh, there may be pain, suffering, judgment. I'm not saying we got some cakewalk here. But do you think that this emphasis is going to get us off track and get us caught up with political things? Or do you think that the power of the gospel actually can bring about social change and that God's people transform can actually see societal transformation? I don't know how far. I'm not talking about a perfect America. I'm not talking about a theocracy. There'll be a theocracy when Jesus returns, not before then. And anyone setting up a theocracy before Jesus returns, I don't want any part of it, all right? Just to make that clear. I believe we can bring about change. I've got some updates to share with you. I did a press conference today at the National Press Club about my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, and our speaking tour. So some interesting things came up from that tie in with this. 866-34-TRUTH. Can we bring about change? Is it too late for America? What do you think?
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Why do I talk about revolution? Because more of the same will only produce more of the same. We need some type of radical, dramatic, sweeping change that the gospel brings. Sure, I believe in day-to-day discipleship. I believe in day-to-day doing the little things. Day-to-day being a godly husband, godly wife, godly child, godly employee, godly employer, sharing your witness, keeping your testimony. We're going to do that till Jesus comes by his grace. And I also believe that the path that we're on is the wrong path in so much of the gospel in America. So we need some radical change and an awakening, because otherwise it's like the person who gains a pound a year and after 20 years is 20 pounds heavier and thinks that just miraculously by doing the same thing, they'll lose weight. No, you keep gaining that pound or two or three. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. by all means, respectfully differ with me. Be disrespectful. It doesn't matter. If you differ with me, if you think I'm barking up the wrong tree, if you think I'm dead wrong here, that's why we have talk radio, so you can weigh in with your differences. But I want to inspire and encourage you today. By the way, some real encouragement for me earlier, you know, Jesus said in Luke 6, woe to you when all men speak well of you. And I get blasted all the time. I've been called everything you can imagine being called and things you wouldn't imagine. I've been called them. And if it's for the gospel, not because of my foolishness or pride or sin or something, if it's for the gospel, I rejoice. Praise God. Jesus said we'd be persecuted for righteousness' sake. I took all the people rejecting my book that wouldn't touch it, wouldn't publish it. I put that in the back cover of the book. Didn't mention their names. Didn't want to embarrass them. But I put it on the back cover of A Queer Thing Happened to America. So good news. Somebody posted the first nasty review. The first 7 reviews were very good, 4 or 5 stars. So we got our first nasty one, obviously by someone who failed to read the book. That's the only issue. If you got to post a review, read the book. But, you know, we friends are living in a day where we should realize that change can happen in the most unexpected ways. You could be talking to someone over lunch and not know that poignant conversation we're having, someone overheard and clicked it on their cell phone, the next thing put it on YouTube, and you speak to 5 million people with a message of hope. I mean, you just never know what'll happen. I've been encouraging folks, go to Amazon.com. If you haven't ordered A Queer Thing Happened to America, get it. A friend just wrote me, ordered 50 copies to give to leaders. He said, it's the best tool I have right now outside of the Bible to use. Whoa. Thank God that people want to take a stand and work together to get truth out. Well, I just read an article blasting me, blasting the book. We sent out a news release that I'd be doing a press conference today at the National Press Club in D.C., announcing the new book and announcing my speaking tour, the Campaign for Religious Tolerance and Intellectual Diversity, which is saying to folks, hey, let's talk. You have a difference with me? Maybe you're listening and you identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and you think, who is this intolerant, homophobe, jihadist, Hitler, crazy guy on the radio, and another Bible basher? Well, just tell me why you feel that way. I'd like to know why, so we can talk about it, perhaps have an exchange of ideas, and maybe truth will triumph. Maybe light will triumph. Maybe there'll be some enlightenment that comes out of it and some change. So I've encouraged folks, go to Amazon.com because it's a place where people go. They read the reviews. And I didn't write the book just for the church. I wrote it for the world. So here's a gal named Amanda Hess in her blog, Sex and Gender at Work, in Bed and on the Street. So she knew about the press conference, but either wasn't able to go or didn't feel it was worth her time to go. And she mockingly calls it a highly respectful anti-gay person launches book tour in D.C. and says that no major publisher was willing to touch my book. And she mentions Brown's takedown of pro-gay forces is so well researched and mild mannered that it threatens to dismantle the gay lobby once and for all. She's obviously, you know, mocking the idea that the book would make a difference, which, hey, from her perspective, makes perfect sense. Some guy's going to write a 700-page book and it's going to transform the society. Right. 10 million 700-page books like that wouldn't do it without divine intervention. But that being said, I mention it because she quotes what the reviewer said. People that have written it and reviewed, she's quoting what you have to say in her article and going after all of us together. You don't know when you do one thing for truth, one thing that is right, the change it can bring about. Look, before I was saved, there was a heroin shooting, LSD using rebel. I'd stolen money from my own father. I'd broken into a doctor's office and stolen drugs just as a lark. I was a cruel, demented, sick person. You know, I thought I was great. I thought I was very cool. But I was a very lost soul. I almost certainly would have been dead before I was 18 because of drugs. If I lived long enough, I just would have been a bad role model for other young people as a rock drummer in this whole bit and destructive lifestyle. Now I get saved. We've raised up schools that have sent out hundreds of missionaries that are doing humanitarian work around the world and gospel work around the world and helping the poorest to the poor and bringing people from darkness into light. That's changing the world, isn't it? You lead someone to Jesus, you don't know the impact that person can have. We need to expand our vision of what the gospel is and how the gospel can bring about change. Again, feel free to differ with me, 866-34-TRUTH. And I'm not going to try to intimidate you. Maybe I can outquote you with scripture. My goal is not to win an argument. My goal is for us to arrive at truth through a healthy discussion together. Let me get to Steve in New York City. Hey, Steve, thanks for being with us on the Line of Fire today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I actually am a gay man, and I'm 58 years old. And I received Christ as my Savior when I was 8 years old, and gave my life to Him for missions and for the Lord's work. And then at age 13, at puberty, something hit me like a ton of bricks, and that was the same-sex attraction I had towards men. And did everything I could in my spiritual growth, my daily devotions, Bible college, seminary. Then finally was in therapy and in midlife. I told my wife before I married her I knew I was had these same-sex attractions, but this is back when there wasn't a lot of information and we were kind of naive. And I guess my my point would be that there are evangelical Christians. I don't identify as an evangelical today for reasons. I believe I'm a creedal Christian, not a not a born-again Christian, which is but so I don't identify as evangelical. I'm, you know, for good reasons. My own parents have rejected me. My own family, a Christian response that I think is like over the top. I'm sure that you know measures into how I've had to step back and look at my whole evangelical faith. But I haven't thrown the baby out with the bathwater. Okay, I do call myself a Christian. But I think my observation is that with the in bringing America to a place of what would be moral integrity, from my standpoint, as someone who grew up in the evangelical faith, was a pastor for 20 years, food and youth pastor, is maybe we are going down the wrong road with this whole question of homosexuality. Maybe we are on the side of the oppressor rather than on the side of the deliverer, and the evangelical church needs to step back. And here's my observation. There are evangelicals today, not just me, who have come to a different conclusion on what the Bible does say or doesn't say about homosexuality. And, of course, for the evangelical, that's his big take, you know, what is God saying through the Word. So I think that we have like a north-south situation during the Civil War. We have a church divided where the North said no, slavery is wrong. The South said slavery is morally correct, and we have our verses. And I think we have that in evangelicalism today in America, this great divide. It doesn't go along state lines, obviously, but it goes very deep within churches, colleges, families. And I think that I'm glad for the conversation, and I think this conversation has to continue.
So let me just jump in. If you don't mind holding to the other side of the break, I want to continue this conversation with you. All right, Steve?
Yes, I
think it's very, very important that our listening audience recognizes the struggles that someone like you would have professing faith in Jesus, wanting to follow Jesus, then hit unexpectedly, as you said, coming into puberty 13, sure. Hit right. With same-sex attractions. I imagine it was very devastating. All the efforts you were making to bring about change, finding yourself unable to change, then finally saying, okay, God accepts me as I am, maybe even created me as I am. We've been misusing the Bible, misreading the Bible. It's something people really need to be sensitized to, because I've read your stories, and I've gotten on my knees, and I've wept. And I absolutely want to be on the side of the deliverer and the one who frees people from oppression. So I'm acutely sensitive to this, and it's very important that people hear this and understand the real issues we're dealing with. So I'm going to continue this conversation with you, Steve, on the other side of the break. I want to ask you a couple of pointed questions, but you'll be able to answer them, I'm sure. All right, folks, the conversation will continue right here on the Line of Fire.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm in the midst of a conversation with Steve in New York City. Identifies as a committed Christian, a creedal Christian, but with many evangelical leanings, and also identifies as a gay man, homosexual man. And it's a conversation that needs to happen. We're talking about our calling to change the world. We're talking about our commission to bring about social moral change through the gospel. Or is that really commission? Is that a distraction? Is that getting political? And is it too late to bring about change? But in the midst of it, we wanted to have this conversation with Steve, and it's a very important conversation. Michael Brown, 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Steve, let me ask you a couple of questions, okay? First, if you were convinced that homosexual practice was forbidden in God's sight, what would that mean to you in terms of your lifestyle?
I would want to do what I believe was morally right in his sight.
All right, so then even if it was the high price of celibacy, that you never developed heterosexual attractions, that you would feel that would be your calling in God because you wouldn't be allowed to engage in same-sex activity?
Yes, if he was clear on that, yes.
Okay, and then in terms of your own life right now, are you involved in a relationship with someone of the same sex?
Yes, I'm in a same-sex relationship now for 13 years.
Okay.
He's also an evangelical Christian, and we married in 2008 in California.
Okay, and are you 100% sure in God's sight that he has given approval to your same-sex relationship? 100%
yeah, I have no
sure.
Doubt.
You have
yes.
no doubt. So yes. Then you're 100% sure that when I look at the scriptures and study them from every angle, pray, read all the pro-gay arguments, pro-gay theologians, etc., that I'm misguided despite my sincerity in my understanding of scripture.
I don't like to go down that road saying you're misguided.
Well, am I wrong? I know you're being gracious.
To be consistent with the argument, we would have to say, like Abraham Lincoln said, the North read the Bible one way, the South read the same Bible but a different way. Yeah, for the sake of the argument, we'd have, and if the Bible is what we're going by, then okay, we have to say yes.
All right,
so
so that would be our ultimate question, right, Steve? What does the Bible say? Because it does address this issue directly. So if we looked at the same scriptures, obviously you've been through this before, and researching my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, I probably have a bigger gay book library than you do. Certainly the queer Bible commentaries and religion is a queer thing and queer commentary in the Hebrew scripture and book after book after book by noted authors, some who are gay themselves and some who are straight but would be called gay allies. So I would imagine you hold to the standard gay interpretation of like Romans 1, that when Paul talks about these acts being against nature or men leaving the natural use of the women and engaging in same-sex acts with men, that was part of the degeneration of the human race, that you have a way of responding to that.
Yeah, there's more than one view on Romans chapter 1. And probably the view, Romans 1 hit me between the eyes. I memorized Romans chapter 1 when I was like 15 or 16 by heart.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I would be in a situation where I found myself saying, wow, look at that guy, I can't believe it. You know, where my friends were saying, look at that girl, I can't believe it. I would quote Romans chapter 1 by heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of my spiritual warfare methods, to use the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so I memorized Romans 1 by heart. And then one day it dawned on me in my 40s, where I said to myself, Romans chapter 1 only applies to me if I read it backwards, not forward. Because everything building up to the verse that says this is against nature, none of those things pictured me.
Just to jump in. So in other words, your view would be that Paul's dealing with a heterosexual who, contrary to his own nature, now engages in homosexuality. Actually, if you look at it, especially if you can read it in Greek, but even not, he's talking about against nature meaning against the created order. That's why he talks about the natural use of women because of the biological compatibility. It's not against my own nature. And Paul's very specific. He uses the same words that are used in the Greek translation of his day, the Septuagint of Genesis 1, where it talks about male, female, distinct categories in creation, that God established male, female as the order. And everything that would violate that, it's through male, female coming together that the image of God is expressed, not two women coming together, not two men coming together. But let me just say this, Steve.
Which is the compatibility argument. If, you know, A fits into B, and you know, B doesn't fit into B. You're talking about the compatibility argument.
Well, first I'm talking about Romans 1 is explicit and clear. That's why you don't find anyone coming up with this argument before gay activism. In other words, no one, all the scholars, even critical scholars reading Romans 1 for centuries, no one ever dreamed up this argument. It only came out of gay activism. That's the first thing. So that should give you pause for concern, the fact that no one saw it like that before.
Well, I don't think that was my argument. I think my argument was more along the line of John Wesley, who said we have four sources of authority. One is the Word of God. The other is experience, along with reason and tradition. And I do think in tradition, we do have, in church history tradition, examples of where we had gay couples.
The whole Boswell argument has been debunked so many times over. But here's the deal. Just for time's sake and out of respect for other callers as well. Hang on. I mean, you've been very respectful. I'm trying to give you a hearing here. But Wesley, the Word of God was the authority, then confirmed by experience. If experience went contrary to that, you threw out the experience. Reason supported the Word. It did not override it. But reason would simply tell you that when God creates the human race and says, be fruitful and multiply, and brings together male and female, and the whole Bible presumes heterosexuality, husbands love your wives, wives love your husbands, children submit to your parents, honor your father, mother. All of that, those gender distinctions are found throughout Scripture. But, okay, real quick, and then if you hold on the line, I want to send you some materials, and then off the line we can continue the discussion, okay? But what would you tell someone whose only attraction is say, to children? I'm assuming you would say, I don't care, you have to be celibate because that's an abuse, that's abominable, right?
Yeah, but I don't think you're comparing apples with apples now.
No, I just asked a question. I wasn't comparing.
No. Well, your questions are going in a direction which I appreciate, but I don't think you're comparing apples with apples.
I'm not comparing your acts to someone going out and raping a child. Absolutely not. What I'm saying is, we would agree that regardless of someone's attraction, if the Word of God is against it, that's the standard. Hey, Steve, I'm out of time here. Stay on the line, though. We're going to get your name and address. Now, to put you on a mailing list, I want to send you some DVDs and my new book. And as you have a chance to get into them, interact with us, okay? You can contact me through the website, askdrbrown.org. Thank you for the conversation. Our listeners need to hear it. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So what do you say to someone who says, I am an evangelical gay Christian? I am married to an evangelical gay Christian. We are in a same-sex committed relationship for 13 years, got married in 2008, and are serving the Lord together as gay Christians. What do you say to that? Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire. Thanks for being with us today. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Our question today is simple. Are we really called to change the world? Are we really called to impact the society through the gospel in such a way that cultural and moral change can come, which of course brings us to a subject which has been dear to me for some years, the subject of gay activism in America, the subject of transforming our thinking, transforming the way we look at these various issues, values, and hey, If you don't, just spoke with a caller in an earlier segment of today's broadcast. Just spoke with a caller, very sincere, gracious-sounding man named Steve from New York City. And he likens the situation today to the situation before the Civil War, that we had the North using the Bible rightly, saying that slavery was wrong, the South using the Bible wrongly, justifying slavery. And today, those that come out and support affirmation of homosexuality, they're using the Bible rightly. And those of us who say God is against homosexual practice, we're using it wrongly. I'm so glad that he called. I'm so glad that people got to hear the reality of that perspective and the struggles that he went through for decades into his 40s before he came to the conclusion he was misinterpreting the Bible. Ah, here's what we're being told, friends. And I raise this issue. I know there are many, many other issues. But I tell you, I raise this issue because you can't go far without running into a family member or a friend or an associate who's dealing with these very things. When I'll speak on these topics, pastors will come to me and say, hey, we're dealing with this, this. In the youth group, we have this, this. We're having these issues, these problems. These are we love everyone and want to see wholeness in Jesus, but are we going in the wrong direction? And here's what we hear all the time. Give up. Forget it. Throw in the towel. What I like to refer to as we will intimidate until you capitulate. We will intimidate and manipulate until you will capitulate. Hey, forget it. Have you seen the latest poll? Catholic Americans are more in favor of gay civil rights, gay same-sex marriage, etc., gay relationships, than your average American. Throw in the towel. It's too late. That's what we're being told. I, before the Lord, as a follower of Jesus, I want to follow truth wherever it goes. If I was wrong in some of my beliefs, some of my theology, you'd hear me on the radio renouncing it and asking for forgiveness for speaking something that wasn't true. I'm not just, I'm going to hold up the traditions no matter what. But I'm not here just speaking out of a brain that's not working and a heart that's not alert. I've been going before the Lord for decades on these issues and examining the word and praying and studying every way that I know how. And I only speak with conviction because that conviction is based on truth, friends. I cannot look in the eyes of Jesus and lose hope. I cannot look at what the word of God says about who God is and what he has called us to do and lose hope. I cannot walk with the Lord and have fellowship with the Lord, and that leads me to depression, hopelessness, despair. It's too late. I don't see written in the Bible that's too late. In fact, you know what I see in 1 John 2? The darkness is passing and the true light shining. Since Jesus came into the world, it means more light in the midst of darkness. You know what I find in Romans, the end of the 13th chapter? That the night is nearly past, the day is at hand. In other words, if it's getting darker, it's right at the time when it's going to start getting brighter. We need to live as children of the day, children of the light, not children of darkness. I want to take your calls, 866-34-TRUTH. We'll get to that, a very inspiring quote from William Booth as well.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Is it too late for America? I say no, because God is God, and because he hasn't closed the books yet, and because Jesus is working in the midst of his people. Oh, we may be in store for some horrific times. Things are bad now. They may get far, far worse. But I believe it's possible, through the gospel, that our best days could yet be ahead. Show me from the Bible why it can't be. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to go to the phones in a moment. If you can't get through, ask drbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. There are lots of resources relevant to today's show. Links. Read my Jesus Manifesto. It's free online. The Jesus Manifesto. It's all linked at askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire and get into the discussion there. Okay, before I go to the phones, I did a press conference this morning at the National Press Club announcing the release of A Queer Thing Happened to America and my speaking tour of the Campaign for Religious Tolerance and Intellectual Diversity. it's almost impossible to get someone to debate issues on college campuses. Now, bear in mind, in the last 2 years, I've either done lectures or debates at Ohio State University, at Hebrew University in Jerusalem, at Oxford University in England. I've done lectures, talks, different things, Yale, Columbia, USC, University of Southern California. So I've been in these different campuses. But Christian groups either afraid to touch it or they can't get anyone willing to take the other side, discuss things. And at the news conference, the people that were there were people that agreed with me. In other words, other secular media that didn't agree weren't there, even though they had the release and maybe they're busy with Libya, Japan, or maybe they just didn't want to show up. But either way, the thing that's so fascinating is that a Christian correspondent said, why do you think people aren't willing to engage you? And one reason is, well, you're already disqualified. We already know you're a bigot. We already know your position's wrong. It's already disqualified. Oh, based on what research? Based on what facts? So on Amazon, this is the first negative review. We'll be getting plenty, and there'll be plenty more nasty. But this one says, this book is inaccurate and downright dishonest. Thank you. 700 pages, over 1,500 endnotes of careful research, reviewed by people that work in the gay community as well, that really know a lot of what's happening. I had it looked at from every possible angle. Of course, people are going to disagree, but the one thing you can't call it is dishonest and inaccurate. But that's what someone's going to do. That's what someone's going to do when they don't have truth, when they don't have facts on their side. They'll just name call. They won't engage you. So, by the way, I'm not saying our last caller that I talked to in the last segment, Steve from New York, was doing that. I'm saying that it's very, very common. That's why I love the conversations. I welcome the conversations, and I pray for those who differ. If you haven't gone to Amazon yet, you need to get there. Amazon.com, order your copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America. When you get it, get into the book. If you already ordered, order another copy. Order 5 copies. Get them out to your friends, okay? And then write a review about the book. Even if it's a short review, if you can't write a long, full one, write a review, give your feelings, because others will be reading what you have to say. I'm going to try to get to as many calls as possible here. Let's start with Mark in Alabaster, Alabama. We'll have to be quick, sir, but do you believe it's too late to change America?
No, absolutely not. And it's funny that you talk about William Booth. I'm with the Salvation Army. And in front of me, I have Jesus Manifesto, like Call of
Call the Revolution.
One of the things that I wanted to say, I know you should make it quick, but no, it's not. Why is it not? Because last year I spent 3 months in Kintyre, Jamaica, as a missionary. Every day I came against something, machine gun to the head, bush knife, rocks, hot water. It doesn't matter what it was. 637 people said yes to Jesus. And that little city, that little city inside of itself, was changed. And until this day, is still changed, and we're still preaching the gospel in that area. The thing is there has to be somebody willing to go and let Jesus control them with inside of themselves and let themselves go and become truly saved and realize that the manifesto of Jesus lives inside of you, and your job is to go.
Yes. Hey, Mark, God bless you for going. Many people just think of Salvation Army as someone ringing a bell in front of a grocery store at Christmas, soliciting some money. Salvation Army, at its core and at its best through the years, has been a radical gospel-preaching, society-changing organization, believing that Jesus changes people. People bring about change. Hey, Mark, I'm going to play that Booth clip in a little while. Obviously not his recorded words, but his words being spoken. Keep preaching Jesus. Keep making a difference. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you. All right. Arthur in Hawaii, I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce your city, but you're a pastor. What's your take, sir?
Hello, once again, my name is Pastor Art from Waianae, Hawaii. And, it's just that we have to continue to show the love of Christ out there. You know,
we have to continue.
And I just wanted to encourage you, my brother, that you continue to stand for God. You continue to stand for His word. You know, I'm just encouraged that, you know, we just one brother like you that is going to ask the hard questions and is going to stand, you know. And, you know, like what I was saying to the other brother earlier, you know, about what the brother said, the brother Steve, you know, God loved him too. You know, the word of God says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What is the difference between that brother's sin and me stealing one candy from the store?
Yeah, and
hey,
you know,
we are all in the same boat. And the thing is, I'm not telling you or anybody else to change their view on how they believe in God, but to stand on the word of God, because they need to see. You know, I take care of some people, you know, my wife and I, you know, we take in people that, you know, they're having a hard time on the street or whatever, you know, or, you know, they're falling through hard times, you know. And you know what I found out, my brother, is that if they cannot see Jesus in you, what you live in, you know? And
yes, sir. I just got to jump in here. Thank you. You're right. You take people in. You care for people. They have to see Jesus in us. And thank you for the word of encouragement. And just to be perfectly clear, the difference between the sin of someone who steals a candy bar, the sin of someone who looks lustfully after a neighbor's wife, the sin of someone who sleeps with another man, the difference is only if we justify it. The difference is only if we say what I'm doing is fine in God's sight, what I'm doing is acceptable in God's sight. That's the difference. To recognize that all sin is the same at the foot of the cross in terms of we're all guilty. That's what I mean. In that sense, we're all guilty. We all need mercy. We all need forgiveness. Absolutely. But if we turn and justify our sin and say God accepts it, that's when it becomes dangerous. Fran in Jacksonville, what's your take on this?
Fran?
Yes, you're on.
Are you talking to me? Good. I totally agree. I think how you responded to the Hawaiian pastor is a brilliant answer, because if you can't compare the two. It's, you know, justifying your sin. You can't walk in holiness before your God and walk before Jesus Christ and defy the word of God, because he stands for the word. He is the word. He's the living word of God. And I wanted to mention, too, I don't know where, I can't reference the scriptures, but there's scripture that says that God turned them over to a reprobate mind. They would have strong delusion. They would believe a lie. And this is what's happening, and in my opinion, to the people that are calling themselves Christians and still living that kind of lifestyle. In the Old Testament, it was an abomination.
I'm just jumping in because of time, but thank you. Yeah. Thank you for the call. The key verse you were referencing is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, about God sending strong delusion on those who believe a lie. But I want to challenge everyone listening who does not identify as homosexual. You identify as heterosexual, and you are on the verge right now of walking out on your husband or your wife because you find yourselves incompatible. Or you found yourself incompatible and there's somebody else that you like, you're attracted to. Can I just tell you something? Divorce is not an option. I'm just saying, if the basis of the divorce is I found someone else and I think I married the wrong person and God has someone else, don't you dare use the Bible to justify that decision and forsake the person that you made a covenant with in the sight of God or in the sight of a justice of the peace, whether you were saved or not when you made it. Because you found somebody else or you decide you're incompatible, doesn't give you the right to break that covenant. The worst thing that we can do is point out the sin of somebody else and say, how can you do that? And then turn around and justify our own sin. Hey, friends, we've got a resource we want to get into your hands. If you believe in what we're doing here on the Line of Fire, this is a great way to do it.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, our pastor friend from Hawaii, absolutely not seeking to justify sin. His point was we have to love people right where they are and reach out to them with the good news of Jesus. Someone said, here's a good practice. Instead of love the sinner, hate the sin, how about love the sinner, hate our own sin? Ooh, it gets us examining our lives while we reach out to others. Okay. Without further ado, a call to go and change the world from William Booth, founder of the Salvation Army, his words being read by others many years after his homegoing. Oh, listen to this. It'll stir you.
While women weep as they do now, I'll fight.
While little children go hungry as they do now, I'll fight. While men go to prison in and out and in and out as they do now, I'll fight. While there is a drunkard left, while there is a poor lost girl on the streets, while there remains one dark soul without the light of God, I'll fight. I'll fight to the very end. You must do it. With the light that is now broken in upon your mind and the call that is now sounding in your ears and the beckoning hands that are now before your eyes, you have no alternative. To go down among the perishing crowds is your duty. Your happiness from now on will consist in sharing their misery, your ease in sharing their pain, your crown in helping them to bear their cross, and your heaven in going into the very jaws of hell to rescue them. You must do it. You cannot hold back. You have enjoyed yourself and Christianity long enough. You have had pleasant feelings, pleasant songs, pleasant meetings, pleasant prospects. There has been much of human happiness, much clapping of hands and shouting of praises, very much of heaven on earth. Now then, go to God and tell him you are prepared as much as necessary to turn your back upon it all, and that you are willing to spend the rest of your days struggling in the midst of these perishing multitudes, whatever it may cost you. Some want to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. Sovereign God, thy cause, not my own, engages my heart, and I appeal to thee with greatest freedom to set up thy kingdom in every place where Satan reigns. Glorify thyself, and I shall rejoice, for to bring honor to thy name is my sole desire. I adore thee that thou art God, and long that others should know it, feel it, and rejoice in it. Oh, that all men might love and praise thee, that thou mightest have all glory from the intelligent world. Let sinners be brought to thee for thy dear name. To the eye of reason, everything respecting the conversion of others is as dark as midnight, but thou canst accomplish great things. The cause is thine, and it is to thy glory that men should be saved. Lord, use me as thou wilt. Do with me what thou wilt, but oh, promote thy cause. Let thy kingdom come, let thy blessed interest be advanced in this world. Oh, do thou bring in great numbers to Jesus. Let me see that glorious day, and give me to grasp for multitudes of souls. Let me be willing to die to that end. And while I live, let me labor for thee to the utmost of my strength, spending time profitably in this work, both in health and in weakness. It is thy cause and kingdom I long for, not my own. Oh, answer thou my request.
Oh, the battle cry, William Booth. Man, that stirs me to go for souls and to live for Jesus and to make a difference. I don't know about you, but oh, those words just go to the core of my being. Friends, when I spend time with the Lord, I can't help but be encouraged. There's pain, there's suffering. There's hardly a day that goes by where my wife Nancy and I don't talk about the pain of the human race. There's hardly a day that goes by, I'm sure there's not a day that goes by where she doesn't weep over the pain of the human race. We are realists, but I am full of hope because I know that Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth, and the gospel is the ultimate solution, and that light will triumph over darkness and truth will triumph over lies. Michael, Tom, Stephen, if I don't get to your calls all about homosexuality and our previous caller, I'll address these things on Friday and put you at the top of the list if you get back to us on Friday if I don't get your calls. But very quickly, David in Homeworth, Ohio, how does this discussion about homosexuality hit home with you?
My wife's sister is a lesbian. I've ministered to homosexuals for a bunch of years, and because we pray for her, she lives with a woman that's had her breast removed, has cancer. We've wept for them. They know what we feel like, but we didn't have them over 1 year at Christmas, and they all shunned us. Mm. And I just like to share this real quick. Every time I've talked to a homosexual, and they've really been sincere, they share their struggles. I've wept with them like a baby and spoke the truth in love. And I really want to see them set free. But sometimes I think they want us to affirm them so maybe it will appease their conscience. And I've said that to them many times. But deep down inside, I know they know it's wrong. We need to speak the truth in love with tears running down her face. And I'll leave you with this. In homiletics in Bible school, my teacher said, and this is one thing I remember, when Jesus looked down at Jerusalem, he wept, then he wept. If we can't weep for people, then let's not go out and tell them anything, because all we're going to do is harden their hearts.
Yeah, David, you are right on. Thank you, sir, for the call, and thank you for the call to tears and a broken heart. God, and may God touch your wife's sister mightily. You know, for sure, for sure there is a desire for those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, for us to come along and affirm them. Not just to be tolerant and accepting, that's not enough, though there must be affirmation. Pastors, leaders, please hear me. I know many of you don't want to get bogged down in politics. I know you don't want to seem to be intolerant and bigoted. But can I just tell you that the only way that you can ultimately make peace with gay and lesbian activists and those who claim to be gay Christians is by affirming their homosexuality and say it is perfectly valid, it is a perfectly valid alternative to heterosexuality, and that God approves and that you can be a practicing same-sex Christian. Can you have same-sex attraction and resist those things and serve the Lord in a celibate way, in a married way to the opposite sex? Of course. But to be a practicing homosexual, you cannot be a disciple of Jesus at the same time any more than you can be a practicing adulterer or a practicing fornicator or other sins of the flesh or yielding to other things outside of the only thing God has established, which is marriage between a man and a woman. But as David said, that should break our hearts because many people are struggling. Friends, if you believe in what we're doing, if you're blessed to have this broadcast on the air, we are looking for folks to stand with us on a monthly basis as torchbearers. The money doesn't go in my pocket or our staff. You'd be amazed at what we get out of our people as we go for it together. The money goes so that we can talk to you every day and speak to more people. We're looking for monthly torchbearers, and we've got many ways that we stand with you and are a blessing to you. And for your contribution of any size to stand with us today, we want to send you our book, Revolution, The Call to Holy War. So call this number now, 800-278-9978, 800-278-9978. Also, as you have opportunity, log on to Amazon.com. Order a copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America. That's another way you can forward a Jesus revolution in America. Write a review. Let's get truth out. And our website, AskDrBrown.org, chock full of hundreds of hours of free resources for you. So my bottom line, Jesus is Lord. His lordship is not threatened. His power is not threatened. His wisdom is not threatened. And through the weakness of the cross, God brings down the foolishness, the wisdom so-called of the world. That what seems foolish in the eyes of man, God uses to turn things around and to expose the folly of the world. Truth will triumph. Light will shine. Fear not. Be strong. God is with you. Change the world.